3 days of darkness, returning to it with common questions, hopefully some answers. It's hard to get answers on these, but I'm here with Ray Grijalba of Joy of the Faith, and we've been doing some research and trying to come up with answers to common questions that came from last week's show that I did on the 3 days of darkness. I did a brief overview, about a half hour, and there were a ton of questions. Questions like, I'm going to give y'all some before we begin. If you look out your windows, will you die? Do the candles have to be made of beeswax? 51%, 100%. How do you light these candles? If nothing will light, do you have to have blessed matches, a blessed lighter? Will the wicked be able to survive? What else here? Hell will be loosed on earth. What does that mean? Will all demons be on earth? Will you be able to see them? Will they try to trick you by using the voice of their family members, and so on and so forth? So there's a lot of questions. There's actually a lot of confusions on this because it's all based on private revelation. My previous video, I showed biblical excerpts that could refer to the 3 days of darkness. And I also talked about how the 3 days of darkness are not mentioned as 3 days of darkness in the apocalypse, though there is one passage that could be it. So, Ray, are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this. It's going to be good.
Before we do, though, we'll invite everyone to pray with us, and we'll pray the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, in Latin. Ray, you want to do the second half of it?
I will.
Okay, here we go. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra.
Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittibus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen.
Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
All right, before we get started, please, everyone, hit that like button, give it a thumbs up, and subscribe to this channel if you're not already subscribed to get lots of great Catholic info, teaching, and maybe we'll do some live Q&A today. We're going to try to keep it to maybe half an hour, but do we ever really do that? No.
It's a challenge, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Okay, so last time I talked, Ray, you've seen the video. I talked about how Padre Pio, this is one of the biggest ones, that Padre Pio most likely himself did not officially write anything on it. That doesn't mean he didn't talk to people about it or personally believed on it, but there are no sources, legit sources, of Padre Pio. Did you find anything else out about that?
I didn't know. I didn't look into that. Everything that I'd seen, even from some of the websites that were confirming the other writings, confirmed that he said nothing about it. So,
yeah, that's now the consensus. I think early on in the internet days, there was this, there's a quote of Padre Pio on this, but even the Capuchin order to which Padre Pio belonged has come out with an official statement saying, no, he didn't actually say that or write that. It's not actually Padre Pio. So
talking about Padre Pio, right? So one of the lines of this is fears. I think this is the 3 days of darkness is an interesting thing to address from the fear side. You know, you always hear that Padre Pio said, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Right.
And just a little advice that I would give to parents is this is, as Taylor said very well last time, is this definitely going to happen? I don't know. So if I were you, I wouldn't be going to your kids and telling them all about this and scaring them, because I know several people who have left the faith because that fear was so
really
so strong. And it really, you know, I did the Shroud of Turin video and really big into sources. And this is one that it's more challenging that skeptics could be like, hey, where'd you find that from? And it's like, oh, well, it's from this person's site. And it's like, okay. So
yeah,
a little caution there. At the same time, we do have faith, and I've got my candles, tweeted them to Taylor last night, so I'm ready.
Insurance policy.
Might as well. So right, just wanted to highlight that. And obviously, I'm at the Joy of the Faith, so
feel free
to check me out.
That's right. And I'm smiling. I'm not sad or scared. Right. And, you know, one of the things is, even if you get this wrong, let's say you don't have the candles or you don't have the right candles, it doesn't mean that you're going to be damned, which is the ultimate worst case scenario. Exactly. It also wouldn't mean that you're going to die. You could just sit in your house for 3 days in dark. It's lame. It's not good. It'd be scary. But you just don't have a candle.
Yeah. We just, you know, we got to be in a state of grace.
That's the key.
That is huge, because there's a bunch of other stuff we'll get into in this video. But really, and when you think about it, just from the logistics side, if you're in a house for 3 days with your family, there's going to be some tensions, right? We always hear that in Fatima, the final battle will be against the family. So families, be holy, right? Fathers, lead your family in prayer. So it's something I wanted to address first, you know, for us to not be too afraid before we get into this. And let's begin, huh, Taylor?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the most pressing question is, how do you light the candles?
Yes.
Now, I think probably since last week, there are people that have got their shipments in from the internet of wax candles, beeswax candles. They're sitting there. They got to get to a priest. They're going to get them blessed. So I bet a lot of priests would be blessing candles over the next few weeks.
Oh, yes.
Because they're hearing all this. But then this raises the question. I mean, even a teenager, this is an obvious question. Well, if nothing will light during the 3 days of darkness, how are you going to light that candle?
It's a great question. So it's not, this is one of the challenging things that we have with the 3 days of darkness. I mean, all prophecies are typically, you know, there aren't a lot of prophecies that are like, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. So when you look at the writings of obviously the Blesseds, and then one that was frequently commented on was Marie Julie Janet, and they don't say specifically how you light these candles. Now, I'm just going to go off of reason here. If you have to bless the candles for them to light, I would get the matches blessed to light those candles. If anything, it's not going to hurt.
Okay, so that's legit. Do it. Now, I don't think that there's a blessing for matches or lighters.
Oh, no, I don't think so either.
Now, you can get there is to bless something, so a priest could do it, but I never heard of holy matches. So my take on it, and maybe we disagree on this or maybe we don't, Ray, is I believe that the candles will just light. This thing is so miraculous. You read about it. It talks about how there will be some of the private revelation prophecies do talk about how there'll be some wars, there'll be storms, there'll be howling winds, there'll be
earthquakes.
Yeah, there'll be things that are happening leading up to it. But then the supernatural and preternatural elements are pretty extreme. Now, you mentioned Marie Julie, and I'm going to read a private revelation attributed to her. And I think it gives us a hint to how to answer this question on how do the candles get lit. Mm-hmm. All right, so it goes like this. There will come 3 days of complete darkness. Only blessed candles made of wax will give some light during this horrible darkness. She says some light. One candle will last for 3 days. Okay, so let's stop right there, Ray. That's a miracle.
That is a miracle.
I've heard some people like, oh, make sure you buy a lot of candles because they're going to go out. Well, according to Marie Julie, one candle, one taper is going to give you 3 days of light. So we already have a miracle with regard to the candle. That's why I say these candles could light themselves.
Well, Taylor, let's mention how that's a miracle, right, first. Now, there are those candles. The ones we bought actually were, I think they had 100-something hours to them.
Yeah, I bought both kinds. I bought big ones that last over 3 days, and then I bought tons of little skinny tapers.
Yes, so the tapers are the impressive ones. That's where the real miracle
would
be.
Because those only last maybe an hour.
Well, yeah, so maybe an hour, like the really thin ones. But yes, some of the ones that I saw online are like a 10-hour burning time. Now, I don't disagree with you on that. I just said a blessed match would be nice to have. But I also agree, if you have the faith to get these candles, you know, what are you here? God cares for those that love them. He'll do, what is that in Romans? I don't have it off the top of my head. But I think that if you have the faith to get the candles, God will provide the light. Yeah. And that's not a challenge to him. He's God.
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to, let's just say there's a family and they have one candle left over from Candlemas 2012 that they got at their church, their chapel, parish. And but they're like, oh, we didn't think of blessed matches. Dang it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking less than 0.00001% of people are even going to have blessed candles. I mean, the people who remembered to somehow get matches or a lighter blessed is like 0.000. Just say that for the next few minutes, 1% of people.
Exactly.
And we're dealing with a miracle. And so I kind of think these candles are going to light. That's just what I think.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then it goes on to say, these candles will not give light in the houses of the godless. So here's another miracle. Let's say you have a godless person who somehow has a blessed candle and had blessed matches. He couldn't light it anyway. So this again shows that the lighting in the duration of the candles is entirely a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yep.
And I think that's something interesting to note because Catholics often get a bad rap. It's like, oh, they do whatever they want, then they just go to confession, right? You always hear that. Mm. And it's like, this is a case where you have it, but you've lost your faith, you're in mortal sin.
Right.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the justice of God that, you know, I see everything. He who endures to the end, not he who endures enough to get blessed candles and then is reprobate.
Right.
You know, we'll be saved. So I think that's a great, that's really good to see. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I'll note with this private revelation is, and Taylor, you mentioned it in the previous video, this is not dogma or anything like that. We don't have to believe this, but at the same time, she did have the stigmata, so that gives some credibility. I did a lot of research trying to find the best sources, and I would ask for anyone watching, if you have like the original document from her, send it to me. There's the Brett Stigmatist, which I read, that has that in there. But it's kind of hard to find, and I think kind of it's a little shady. So
right.
I wouldn't be going, you know, to my Protestant friends being like, look, this is it. Because that's, you know,
yep.
It's not, I would say I wouldn't be 100% confident in sharing this with someone else that, you know, didn't have some sort of faith.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the early church was very careful in sharing her secrets with the world. Even the catechumens, it seems that in Rome and in Jerusalem, even the catechumens didn't learn about the Eucharist till after baptism.
It's amazing.
I mean, whoa.
That's huge.
It's very huge. It's very, yeah.
Wow.
They knew about baptism. There's even this, there's a passage in St. Augustine, I wish I had it prepared, where he says, if you speak to a man and say, are you a catechumen? Are you trained to become a Christian? He'll make the sign of the cross and say, yes, I want baptism. And he'll talk about baptism. But then if you were to ask him about the mysteries, he would be clueless. Augustine says that.
Wow.
So most people did not know about these things. Mm. The reason for that is you don't throw your pearls before swine. You don't
exactly.
want that which is holy to be ridiculed. But also, when you're in persecution or even coming out of persecution, you don't want people to make up crazy stuff about you, as they did in the early Christians, that they were cannibals because they ate the body of Christ.
You know, to that point, Taylor, a bunch of people commented and they're like, oh, man, you guys think these candles are going to save you and it's magic and all this stuff. Look, guys, we're not getting these candles because we think that the candles, you know, we're relying on God to, right. as we're saying here, to light these candles.
Yeah.
We could go without them, as you mentioned before.
You don't need, I mean, the candles are not necessary. It doesn't, no one says anywhere near, if you don't have the candles, you're going to go to hell or you're going to die.
Exactly.
That's not part of it. It's just the convenience. Another thing I was thinking about, Ray, is I was reading through some of these documents. I'm guessing in previous ages, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, before electricity, having blessed candles was probably likely and usual in most Catholic homes.
That's a good point.
Every home was lit by oil and by candles, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And every year at Candlemas, people received special blessed candles that they would use probably on domestic altars for special feast days.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Assumption of Mary. Let's pull out our blessed candles and use those today. I'm thinking that that was probably universal in Catholic households up until A, the invention of electricity, and B, the crisis in faith where traditional elements were lost. I mean, I bet if you did a poll in just a normal suburban Novus Ordo parish and asked people about blessed candles, I'm gonna guess over 51%, probably closer to 75%. Have never even heard of them.
Yeah, I mean, I can say growing up in that, I never, ever, until I went to the, you know, Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter masses, received a blessed candle. I remember first getting one being like, what? This is kind of bizarre. You know, you light it during the gospel and all that. So, although that's a really interesting thing, I do appreciate that. So, yeah, it is surprising how common it probably was. So people reading this then, if they had read it, were like, okay, that's fine.
Like, okay, we already got blessed candles.
Yeah.
Everybody had
it. So Taylor.
I mean, February 2nd is the feast of the purification of the Virgin Mary, presentation of Christ. It's also called Candlemas. People don't know, in the old days, there's Christmas. We still retain that Christmas. But Holy Innocence of the Children was called Childermas. Did you know that, right?
I didn't know that one.
It was called Childermas. I believe the March 25th Annunciation was called Lady Mass, Our Lady's Mass.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other ones too.
Michaelmas.
What's that?
Michaelmas.
Yep. Michaelmas. Michaelmas is the Feast of St. Michael. So people in English-speaking countries had these sort of shorthand ways of referring to it. And February 2nd, the Purification of the Virgin, the presentation, Simeon talks about Christ as the light of the nations, the light of the world. Also, we think of all the lights lit at the temple where they took Christ and presented him. So on this feast day, every year, the priest would bless. It's a very solemn blessing. If you go to the Latin Mass, our Fraternity of St. Peter priest did it this past year. It's a pretty at-length ceremony. It takes a while. Before the Mass, blesses all these candles with incense and holy water, and it's awesome. And then everyone, they distribute them, and everyone takes one home. So every year, everyone traditionally was loaded up with blessed candles.
So another pro to going to the Latin Mass, huh?
Always.
There we go.
Always.
So long story short, don't worry about lighting the candles. God will provide the light, you know. Now let's go to the second
question. Or ask for blessed matches, but.
True.
I don't know. I mean. Okay, so another one is. Oh, wait, I wanted to finish that quote from Marie Julie. There's one more line.
Okay. Great.
She says, lightning will penetrate your houses, but it will not put out the blessed candles. Neither wind nor storm nor earthquake will put out the blessed candles. So she's clearly showing that, you know, a hurricane can't put them out. A godless person can't light them. No matter how big they are, they're going to last 3 days. So 100% miraculous.
Taylor, the thing that's the most amazing is that wind won't put it out.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to try to keep a candle lit when there's wind?
Oh, my goodness.
So,
yeah.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. So that's a good one. Okay, so another question that people had in the comments from last week. And Ray was very good. He found a lot of these comments. They were coming in, and they're still coming in right now. Y'all can ask these questions. Hopefully we get them. But the wicked who are not in a state of grace will likely not receive light in their homes. So we already covered that. Now, I kind of wonder here, Ray, what wicked means. Is it someone not in a state of grace, or is it someone who has sort of turned against God? Technically, if you don't have, you're not in a state of grace, but there are people who have committed mortal sins and they want to come back, or they're like, I know I need to go to confession, which is different than someone who says, I hate the
and
Lord.
Penitent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the translation I saw, it said wicked and blasphemers will, you know, the light will not.
Blasphemers.
You know, they'll have no light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I think everyone watching, go to confession, get in a state of grace.
That's the number one.
Stay that way. Exactly. I mean, really, when we think about it, with all that's going to go down, if things go as they say, if you don't have faith, I don't know how you'd persevere anyway. So
right.
Obviously, as Taylor mentioned, there's a difference between, you know, I couldn't go to confession, or right now it's hard to find a priest for confession. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you can, I think these are really, you know, you don't want to be too fearful about them. You know, again, the joy of the faith, but at the same time, this is a great reminder that, you know, I was talking to my wife about this. Literally the 3 days of darkness could happen, and I died 2 days before it.
Right.
So who would have cared of all the preparation and fear that went into it?
And if you had 100 blessed candles in your house, but you committed one mortal sin, you go to hell forever.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's where I think really this call to holiness is so powerful today. And it's really what we need to work towards all the time,
mm-hmm.
is that we never know when our 3 days of darkness is going to be.
Right.
You know, it could be tomorrow. You know, we could literally die tomorrow. So that's another great thing that I love about the faith, is that we always need to be prepared for that, because we never know. And it's really cool in researching this, Taylor, to see how like Protestants have picked up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through the Bible and they're like, look, it doesn't contradict anything. So
this
might actually happen. So again,
well, it's important too, as I said in the first video, by the way, this is sort of a part two. I did a video last week that's just sort of a 101 course on the 3 days of darkness. But I talked about how in the Old Testament, the ninth plague in Egypt was 3 days of darkness over Egypt. So it's happened once before, localized in Egypt. But in the New Testament, there were 3 hours of darkness upon the earth while Christ was on the cross. And then also, Christ, you know, from Good Friday to Sunday is 3 days. That was a kind of darkness for the apostles, for the church. Of course, Our Lady kept alive the light of faith, perhaps Mary Magdalene as well. Not so sure about the other apostles, but there was that 3 day element. And so those who are making these private revelations and prophecies, and those who study them, their conclusion and my conclusion that I hold to it, I think this is probable because of so many holy people who have had the same vision, same revelation, is that this signals the passion of the church. In Egypt, there was 3 days of darkness, and then there was the plague of the firstborn. And then Christ is on the cross for 3 hours. He is the death of the firstborn. He's the only begotten of the Father, and the firstborn of Our Lady, obviously, the only born, first and only. And then the church herself will go through a crisis. Our Lady La Salette, the church will go into eclipse, which itself is a sign of darkness. The church, following her bridegroom, will enter into darkness, 3 days of darkness. And then a lot of these private revelations talk about an age of restoration, a new and holy pope who's appointed by Peter and Paul. That's Blessed Maria Anataiji. So it seems that this is an ecclesiastical miracle that's meant to purify the church for a time of renewal. And then after that time of renewal, will bring about, and that could be for 50 years or it could be for 500 years, I don't know. Then after that comes the period of the Antichrist in the final battle. This 3 days of darkness is often referred to as leading in or being part of a minor chastisement. And then there's a major chastisement at the end. You have anything you want to comment on that, Ray?
No, I'll get to something at the end where it's talking about the illumination of conscience. We'll talk about that at the end, but I think that was good, Taylor. So something I want to quickly mention is, and I've alluded to it before, is that the family is going to be critical in these times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriages need to be strong and fortified in prayer. So go to my channel, The Joy of the Faith. Just put out a video today, how to have a joyful marriage, and last week, how to pray as a couple, because I really think that, I mean, for those that are watching that are Taylor Marshall fans, you guys love seeing the love that Taylor and Joy have. Joy is Taylor's wife. I love seeing it too. It's amazing. It's a great witness. So we need to really focus on that and be the light that shines in the darkness, as John 1:5 says.
Yeah.
So Taylor, let's go on to the second question. How, or does the candle have to be fully beeswax, and why beeswax?
So, the beeswax, I think, refers back to the Paschal candle of Easter, which has to be a beeswax. It's mm-hmm. required. So there's some reference there, but honestly, I went through, I've seen stuff on the internet, but when I went through sources that I looked at, I didn't find the beeswax.
Neither did I.
And I was really surprised because so many people say 51% beeswax, 50. And I looked through, here's what I found on the wax. This comes from, it's Marie Julie. She says, there will come 3 days of darkness, only blessed candles made of wax, but doesn't say the word be.
Neither does Blessed Anna Maria Taiji. She just says blessed candles. So now there is something, there's a 591 page document on Marie Julie Genet by, I don't have her name right off the top of my hand, but it states that it has to be fully beeswax, but it's not actually verbatim from her. So Taylor and I are going to go with what the saints said, and the saints didn't say beeswax. So
because often, like we were, Joy, you know, she was, I'm going to go check our blessed candles because we have a bunch of them done maybe 10 years ago when we first heard of 3 days of darkness. Our FSSP priest did it for us. And then I think we have a collection of baptismal candles from our 8 children. And then we also have candles from Candlemas. So we've got blessed candles. However, the candles that we received this year at Candlemas are not beeswax. And our baptismal candles for our kids are not beeswax. Mm-hmm. But they're blessed candles. And so when Taylor, I went back and I, you know, one of the big questions was, does it have to be 100% or 51% beeswax? As I read through all the documents, I was thinking bees, 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 and I never saw it.
Neither did I.
Good. I'm glad we came to the same conclusion.
Me too. And something I will note, though, from the beeswax perspective, beeswax does last the longest as it has the highest melting point. So I don't know if they were going from that perspective, but that's just something to know. Although
I think they're going off the Paschal candle, which has to be a beeswax. Because when the deacon sings the Exultet on Holy Saturday, it specifically refers to the bees that make the candle.
Yes. Yes.
And so it has to be, and I think that's seen as the, like you said, the best kind of wax. Because I think I remember reading like in the, you know, really rich people would burn beeswax. Poor people, I might have this wrong. Poor people would burn wax that was animal derived. But the problem with the animal derived wax is that it left more residue and also could have a smell.
Exactly. Yeah, I've read that as well.
Yeah. So because of that, rich people who could afford it, I mean, bees only make so much wax, you know? So, but animal, you can get a lot of lard and tallow and produce wax that way. But it puts more residue on your walls.
It does.
Or if you have candles burning in a certain spot above that, you're going to have more of a residual, kind of like if you cook a lot of stuff in grease in your house, you're going to have nasty grease vapors all over your ceiling. Mm-hmm. But the beeswax is more pure.
Yes.
And it has the more floral, pleasant smell.
Mm-hmm. So, Taylor, let me go into, this is the third most asked item. And it was funny when I was listening to you give the 3 days of darkness talk, you know, a week or so ago. At the end, we're like, oh, man, Taylor didn't talk about looking out of the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was really excited or really interested in wanting to know if looking outside of the windows will kill you during the 3 days of darkness.
Or if you should tape up your windows.
Yes. You want to go first, Taylor?
No, go ahead. I mean, I've got it here, but you brought it up, so you take it.
Yes. So the answer to that, from what I've seen, a consensus between both Marie-Julie Genet and our blessed Anna Maria is that you cannot look out the windows.
Yeah.
So her quote is...
When you say her, you mean Taiji or Marie Taiji. Julie?
Yeah. Yes, Taiji. He who out of curiosity opens his window to look out or leaves his home will fall dead on the spot. And then this is great. During these 3 days, people should remain in their homes, pray the rosary, and beg God for mercy.
Yes.
Or you're not on the team. I'm just kidding.
Pray the rosary. That's what I'm telling you guys. You got to pray the rosary.
I know.
And then, and not pray the rosary every day. Be praying the rosary every hour, I tell you, if it was 3 days of darkness.
I personally like praying my rosaries like in darkness with a candle lit. So.
I do too. Yeah. That's, everyone should do that.
They should.
We like to, we always pray the rosary in the evening. 8 p.m. is the rosary time. The kids just know, even if they're like, oh, Dad. Actually, I'll take it back. One time last week, they're like, oh, Dad, because it was so nice outside and it was cool, you know, and all the kids are coming out because of post-corona and playing. Like, can we just delay? So I was like, okay, rosary's at 9. Bumped it back. But 8 o'clock, boom, 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 we do that rosary. And it's getting a little dark at that time. And sometimes we light real candles. We also have some fake candles. Don't tell anybody that. But they have a nice, because we have a nice statue of Our Lady. And candlelight is just, it's just prettier. So, yeah, I like that as well. You know, another prophecy I found, I don't know if you found this one, Ray, but this is from, this is from St. Caspar Del Bufalo. Now, a lot of these come from blesseds or venerables, but here's an actual saint, canonized saint. People will know, I didn't know St. Caspar Del Bufalo until Alexander Chuguel. Alexander Chuguel is the guy who threw the Pachamamas into the river, into the Tiber River in Rome. And before he did that, someone gave him a holy card of St. Caspar Del Bufalo. He didn't know much about him, and he learned that this is a really great saint. So he kind of took St. Caspar as sort of a special patron with him, if I understand it and remember it correctly. And Alexander Chuguel's YouTube channel is called Michael Del Bufalo for St. Michael, and then Del Bufalo for this guy.
Wow. Okay,
so St. Caspar Del Bufalo, he says, did you find this quote, Ray?
I didn't know.
Okay, this is a great quote. The death of the impenitent persecutors of the church will take place during the 3 days of darkness.
I did see that one, yes.
Okay, so these are people persecuting the church. He who outlives the darkness in the fear of these 3 days will think that he is alone on earth because the whole world will be covered with cadavers, end quote. So just think about that. The people are going to be curious. They're going to look out their windows. They're going to go outside. They're going to get in their cars. And Maria Taiji talks about pestilence in the air, demons in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Another Blessed Mary of Jesus Crucified. She's from the 1800s. She died in 1878. She says, during a darkness lasting 3 days, the people given to evil will perish so that only 1/4 of mankind will survive. 25% are going to make it. That's a lot. So,
Taylor, you know what my plan is?
What?
We have a closet, right? And it's a pretty big closet.
Mm-hmm.
And right by the closet is the bathroom. So we're just going to hang out in there and, you know, make our little runs.
There
we just have two kids. So it'd be hard to fit 10 people.
Ray, y'all are going to make it, I think.
All right. I'll do my best.
It says 25% of Earth. 25% of Earth is going to make it. And it also says that some evildoers will make it through. God will preserve them, but they'll likely be converted.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing in reading this. It talks about heretics converting to the faith and things like that. It's pretty amazing. So if and when this happens, right, it'll be a very interesting time. But I wanted to, Taylor, talk about Sister Faustina, or Saint Faustina, she has a brief mentioning of darkness as well. So I'm actually going to read it from her diary. So again, this is private revelation, but she is a canonized saint, and the diary of Saint Faustina is extremely popular. This is Christ saying, write this, before I come as the just judge, I am coming first as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be given to people a sign in the heavens of this sort. All light in the heavens will be extinguished, and there will be a great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the openings where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth great lights, which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. So again, to hear these things, they're all very similar stories. Right. So I think it's something to consider.
Yeah, and the mention of the cross actually is stated by another mystic named Palma Maria.
Mm-hmm.
She writes this: "There shall be 3 days of darkness. Not one demon shall be left in hell. They shall all come out either to excite the wicked murderers or to dishearten the just. This shall be frightful, frightful, but a grand cross shall appear, and the triumphs of the church will make people quickly forget all evils." So she also says that a great cross is going to appear in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like after.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So I think that's the thing to note, is that whatever's going to happen, Christ is victor, right? And right. That's where we need not be afraid, because as Christians, we're not supposed to be afraid of, you know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? That's mm-hmm. the only thing that we should fear. And, but at the same time, as parents, don't be sharing this with your kids. Right. I don't think that's a very prudent thing to do, but be prepared, you know,
yeah.
This might not happen in your lifetime. It might, but what's more important is you becoming holy. So, one last thing I wanted to address. So there's the illumination of conscience. That's a whole nother video. That's pretty mm-hmm. intense. So there's like a really long book. Taylor, I sent you the link for it. Mark Miravalle, who's I think a very, very well respected professor at Franciscan University. He wrote a little, you know, recommendation within it. So I was impressed. So I'll check that out, and, you know, maybe we'll do a follow up video on that.
Yep. Okay. Now, another one that I wanted to ask you about was, I think it's Marie Julie Jahani who says that the 3 days will actually happen on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a triduum. Is she the one yes. that says that?
She is the one that says that. So
it makes sense.
It does make sense. Now, she also said when it will happen.
Oh.
But this is, yeah, she said it would be in the beginning of the year. It won't be in December, but it'll be the early year.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading that. Mm-hmm.
So
when it's cold.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, again, these are things that, you know, it's private revelation, so you don't have to believe, but I'm going to read what, you know, she describes, because a lot of people said, hey, can you talk about what she said on the 3 days of darkness?
Sure.
We've referenced her a couple times. The earth will be covered in darkness, and hell will be loosed on earth, and thunder and lightning will cause those who... Oh, wait, no, you already read this, Taylor.
Go ahead and read it. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, no, this is like... Okay. The earth will be covered in darkness, and hell will be loosed on earth. The thunder and lightning will cause those who have no faith or trust in my power to die of fear. During these 3 days of terrifying darkness, no windows must be opened, because no one will be able to see the earth and the terrible color it will have in those days of punishment without dying at once. The sky will be on fire. The earth will split. During these 3 days of darkness, let the blessed candle be lighted everywhere. No other light will shine. Now, this is what I'm about to read next. I find this very interesting. No one outside a shelter will survive.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep reading. The earth will shake as at the judgment, and fear will be great. Yes, we will listen to the prayers of your friends. Not one will perish. Right. We will need them to publish the glory of the cross. So I find that very interesting, that no one outside will survive. And that's why I think if this does happen, or how it goes down, as she mentions, which Taylor and I have said before, you know, not 100% on the authenticity of that, but right. again, it's, you know, found pretty readily. I would guess it would happen when everyone's asleep, because I would be surprised if God would, you know, if I'm driving to work and the 3 days of darkness happens and then I'm dead, you know?
What about time zones?
I know, exactly. So I think that's where, again,
I think there's going to be warnings. Many of them talk about the clouds and the howlings. I think there'll be a lot of warnings. And I kind of wonder, like, if the warnings will keep going. Someone in the comments just had a good point. They said, if it happens in the winter, what if it happens right after Candlemas?
Mm.
What if there were a few weeks of warnings and then Candlemas happens and everyone's like, get your candles? the Catholics are like, get your candles. And then it happened. Could be.
It could. So, you know, again, just looking at this from a logistical standpoint, I'm sure Taylor, you'd agree with me in saying, you know, don't freak out and have everything stocked up and,
right. You
know, freak out your family that this is going to happen and all that stuff, because no one knows if or when this is going to happen. No one knows when they're going to die. So we just need to be in a state of grace and really know our faith, because if we do live through this, guess who's going to be the ones rebuilding the church?
Right.
It's us.
Yeah.
And our children. Yeah. If we don't know the faith, how are we going to rebuild the faith? I think that it's, you know, that's something that obviously Taylor with the New St. Thomas Institute, you guys do really well.
Yep.
But those are the top questions. Again, there's the question, what will the warning, the illumination of conscience be like? I think that's a separate video
because
there's a lot in that. So Taylor, I didn't have anything else to cover. Again, there were like 1400 comments. I went through every single one of them and rated them from
amazing,
most popular to lowest. So
amazing. Yeah. I think I'm looking through the questions right now, and I think we got all the main big ones. Yeah. Except
great.
For illumination of conscience, which is another topic. And then also I think that there's a lot of these, you know, mystics talk about a time of renewal after. So the 3 days of darkness, all the ones that I've read that actually give a time sequence, it's not like, and then the Antichrist comes.
Exactly.
So it's a minor chastisement. There's a great renewal of the church, and the Antichrist is going to come much later. I want to read the one passage here that I read on the last video. This is from Blessed Anna Maria Taiji. She says, after the 3 days of darkness, St. Peter and St. Paul, having come down from heaven, will preach in the whole world and designate a new pope. A great light will flash from their bodies and will settle upon the cardinal, the future pontiff. Then Christianity will spread throughout the world. He is the holy pontiff, chosen by God to withstand the storm. At the end, he will have the gift of miracles, and his name will be praised over the whole earth. One cool thing about that I didn't realize last week, but as I've read it over and thought about it, the light will come from their bodies. Now, if Peter and Paul appear as apparitions, Ray, are those their bodies?
No.
No, it's their souls. Where are their bodies?
In heaven?
No. Where's the body of Peter?
Oh, wow.
The body of Peter is under the altar in St. Peter's.
Oh, which means...
Where's the body of Paul? Under the altar at St. Paul's outside the wall. So the light is not going to come from their souls. The light's going to come from their tombs. That's where their bodies are. How cool is that? Unless she's meaning something else here, the translation's wrong. If the light comes from their bodies, it's going to come from their relics. Which is very important in the city of Rome.
It is.
So there it is. It's private revelation. So the disclaimer must be stated once again. This is not de fide. This is not dogma. You are free to reject everything spoken in this video, except for the parts like go to confession, pray the rosary, things like that.
And subscribe to Taylor Marshall and Joy of the Faith. You got
to
do that.
Subscribe to Taylor Marshall channel and Joy of the Faith channel.
I think Pope Francis said something about that recently, right?
Well, got to be careful on that. Thanks for watching, everyone. Please like this video. Hit that thumbs up and say, I like this. I learned something today. It was helpful. Maybe you had questions on it and something's clarified. Hit the like button. Really do appreciate it. And please subscribe to this channel. Lots of good info, lots of great guests like Ray. Also, while you're at it, hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell to be notified when we do these videos. This is a live video. We're live right now. And if you use a phone or a tablet, you have to turn your notifications on or you won't get it. And while you're at it, or maybe as soon as this video is over, go over to Joy of the Faith, that's Ray's channel, and subscribe there. And also go watch his video on how to have a happy Catholic marriage and how to pray as spouses.
And share this video, because this video was everywhere. The previous 3 days of darkness video was everywhere.
That's right. You got to share it. And the way you share it, folks, it's easy. YouTube makes this super easy. You go on the bottom right of the screen. So right under where Ray is, there is a box that says share. And there's a little arrow. Hit the box, share. And you can click Twitter or Facebook, and it will automatically share it for you. Zero work. So just share this video. I imagine a lot of people have a lot of questions about 3 Days of Darkness, and they'll watch this, and they need help. just share the video. This is a short, concise video, lots of info. And I think we read about 80, 90% of what's available out there on 3 Days of Darkness. So you got mm-hmm. you got the straight from the sources that we have. We provided it and fielded those questions. And of course, I always appreciate everyone's support on Patreon. You can get signed books, cool merchandise, other things, sending out signed copies of my book, Infiltration. You can go to patreon.com/Dr. Taylor Marshall, and I'll send those out to you this week. All right. And like we said, pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. You might not get to 3 Days of Darkness. Your 3 Days of Darkness might be a car wreck this week.
Mm-hmm.
Might be cancer.
Yes.
Might be a freak accident. Might be a heart attack tonight while you're sleeping. So you must be prepared. Love Jesus. Love the faith. Love your neighbor, your spouses, your family, your friends, and draw close to Jesus. Easy way to draw close to Jesus, pray the rosary every single day.
It's amazing.
Don't stop. Don't stop. Always pray the rosary. If you don't pray the rosary, Ray,
you're not on the team.
You're not on the team.
And you want to be on the team.
You want to be on the team. I mean, what's cool is in one of the private revelations we read, you stay in your home and you read the missal. No, it didn't say that. That's a good idea, though. You read the Bible. That's a good idea, too. It says you pray the rosary. And if you don't have candles, guess what? You can still pray the rosary.
You can. You can't read, but you can pray the rosary. Read,
but you can pray the rosary, and the rosary is Bible on beads. Bible on beads. And
it is.
Let's not forget, one of the mysteries is presentation of Christ in the temple. Candlemas.
Mm-hmm. Candlemas.
So, and as I always say at the end of the show, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If you're a believer, if you have grace in your heart, you're in sanctifying grace, the Holy Trinity is inside of you, you are light in the darkness. You are light in the darkness, and you must share that light mm-hmm. with people. If you're like, oh, I should buy a candle, get blessed candles for my family, well, even more than that, you should share the gospel with them. What's more important, that they go to heaven forever and not go to hell, or that they have light for 3 days? So pray the rosary every day. Ray, thanks for being with us today.
Of course. Thanks for, you got a closing prayer?
Yeah, thanks for closing prayer. Thanks for going through the questions and sourcing some of these things and making sure that people's questions are answered. I'm looking at the questions in the live chat, I think we hit almost all of them. So
wow.
Well done on that. Well done on that. So let's close in prayer. We'll pray the Hail Mary, the angelic salutation in Latin. And we'll also pray the Glory Be, the Gloria Patri. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Ray Grijalva, thank you so much. Everybody go check out Joy of the Faith. And remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Till next time, Godspeed.